today I wanted to talk about special versus holy relationships. Now that is an idea from the Course in Miracles, and I am not a true scholar of the Course in Miracles, but I secondhand try to learn what I can from Jacob Glass and Marianne Williamson and some others that I see online. So my interpretation of this stuff is really doing my best. The way that Jacob explained it that I love, he says that in a special relationship, you are always working on the relationship. In a holy relationship, you are always working on yourself. In a special relationship, you seek some sort of happiness, satisfaction in that thing or that person. So it could be a job, it could be a family member, it could be an object. And so your relationship with it is special because it's outside of you, and you hope that it will then bring you what you're looking for. It will fill your holes. It will complete you. That is a special relationship. A holy relationship is one where the other thing is simply an opportunity for you to learn, to understand yourself. And so if you have a challenge with a special relationship, you try to change it. You try to fix it. You try to get a better car. You try to get a better, you make your partner change. You ask them to do things different. You're always working on the external, even if it's a relationship with your body. When you're trying to change your body so that it makes you happy, that's a special relationship. When you recognize that thing is an opportunity for you to learn, and the only way for you to get joy from this relationship is by changing your perspective in that relationship, that's when it's holy. And part of that is a recognition of separateness. If you're in the state where you see yourself as separate, then all the things in your life are special. Those are the things that they're outside of you, and they as you attach to them, you take from them, you take from them. If you see that you are connected to all things, it's vastly different. And when I say connected to all things, what I'm really saying is that, and let me just take a minute to dig into that oneness versus separateness. Because this is a hard thing to understand. Like, who are you? Where do you end and the rest of things begin? I am of the mind that there is only one thing, and we simply experience it all from the consciousness of this individual body. But we are, it is one thing. And deciding that you end at your skin is pretty arbitrary. So you could say, well, what are you? Am I the thoughts that I have? How about the things that I don't think about, but happen within my body? Am I the breathing that happens when I'm asleep? Am I the regulation of my lymph nodes? Is that me? Because it certainly would happen if I were not thinking about it. It even would happen if I was brain dead and a vegetable. These things would still happen. It would happen in the same way that photosynthesis happens in a plant of something that I'm going to eat at some day. It's not controlled by me, but it is interconnected to my life. So what part is me? My hair that is dead, is that me? What about the mites that live on that hair? What about food as I chew it? When does it become me? What about the microbes inside me? Is my kidney me? What if I donate my kidney to someone else? So, we are all of these things. We are everything, is what I believe. And we have this amazing, unique perspective of a single consciousness that then experiences it all. And it is from that singleness, that separateness, that we are given the opportunity to build relationships and learn. From the oneness of it all, there is no separateness, there is no yin-yang, there is just one. But in this unique perspective of a one, we then can look to the other, and the relationship we have with it gives us this opportunity to change. If we try to change it, we're in that trap of a special relationship. We make it special, and we're in that trap. If we, once again, go back to that, we need to change ourselves, that is when we're in that recognition that it's all us. These are just our partners in the lessons that we're here for now. All the people, all the objects, all the struggle, all of that is just opportunities for us to learn and grow. And if you look at the timeline of your life, you may find that you have certain things that come up over and over and over again. You may have had special relationships with lovers. And over and over, you might think, why do I keep attracting such selfish jerks? Well, that's because probably you've had a special relationship with those men or women. And that each time you're given this lesson of, how do I want to change this person, or do I want to change my thoughts about it? And every time you choose special and say, I'm leaving for something better, then the universe goes, okay, we'll put that class on hold. Next time, we'll give it to you again. And eventually, you'll have to decide, wait a minute, I keep getting this class. Maybe I need to not try to change that exterior world. How can I change my thoughts about it? And that can be really hard because, of course, you're right. And they are wrong. And they treated you unfairly. And they did things they should know better. All of these things that you're absolutely right. That's why A Course in Miracles says, would you rather be right or would you rather be happy? Do you want to win the war or do you want peace? So there was a few things that happened this weekend, a lot that happened this weekend. But a number of conversations I was in that really kind of put a mirror up to this idea of special relationships and holy relationships. One of them was I'm going to take you through a conversation process that I had with my lover. And we were, I think it was the process of trying to bring a challenge we were having and bring it so that we could maintain a holy relationship. So there was a situation where we were kind of out of balance and out of ground, and we really needed to reconnect. And so my partner suggested that we put some rules on our relationship so that I stop making her feel a certain way. And I like bristled up because the challenge to my freedom, you know, made me, and I just reacted. And then she was all hurt, like, wow, I don't think I'm asking that much. I give you so much freedom. I'm just asking for a little short period of reduced freedom so that I can get, you know, my footing again and not feel so insecure about this specific thing. And, you know, the more we talked about it, I'm like, well, can we talk this through so that I understand what your feelings are, what the issue is, so that then I can make a choice to not make you feel that way. I don't want you to hurt, but I want the process to be that I get to change my thinking. I get to change my awareness about the whole situation so that I can find the resolution. And so as we went through the tension of it and finally worked through the other side, I think we came to a beautiful place where we said, yes, we both love each other. We both want the other person to be as happy and free and truly themselves as possible. And if we can recognize that and communicate, then we can go return to that holy relationship where if I want this better, I need to make a change myself. Part of that is simply communicating what my needs are so that somebody who is in a holy relationship with me, you know, if that relationship maintains that holiness, they will also make choices for themselves to make that connection better and more beautiful and divine. Another example, as we're talking about so many things, another friend of mine was dealing with some frustration with their parents. And it's a long time frustration. And every time they try to explain to their parents this bitterness they have about their youth and these things that happened, the parents kind of react really defensively and it becomes another fight. And it just, and so this friend was trying to consult me and say, like, what can you help me find the best way to go about helping them understand how I feel? And as we were talking about it, I'm like, okay, this is kind of doomed. Because you're still seeing this as a special relationship. You still want them to acknowledge, to recognize, to maybe say, I'm sorry. And so you are needing them to do something, be something, to give you the peace that you need. For it to be a holy relationship, you need to find a way. You can write the letter, you can say all the things that you want them to know, but in the end, it's you that needs to forgive them, whether they ever even see the list. That's one of Byron Katie's whole thing. She has a thing, the Judge Your Neighbor workshop, where you go through and you say all the things that you wish that somebody else should be and that upset you about them, and then you do the work, not on them, but on your thoughts about them. And you may decide after you do all the work, wow, this person is toxic for me. I need to just not be around them. Or you may decide, oh, if I can see them and accept them as they are and not wish them to be different, then I can go back to loving them and this relationship can return to a holy one, even if they're not everything or anything of what I wanted them to be. This relationship that we have, hopefully, is one of holiness, where we try to remind each other. That's kind of one of the reasons of this recalibration of the heart that we do in Hug Nation, is to remind ourselves, wait a minute, I'm perfect. Wait a minute, you're perfect. Wait a minute, if I don't think things are awesome, it's because of my thoughts about them, about you, about me, about them, about her, about... And so when we can kind of practice and remind ourselves, what is the friction here? Where is the war? So, with the depth of my flawed heart, thank you for accepting me, or at least recognizing that I am as is, as are you. And if we ever, if we never change, that's perfect. And if we evolve tremendously, that's perfect, as we are all perfectly on our paths. So thank you for being you and receiving this and seeking a holy relationship with this broadcast, with this moment, with this community, and with me. So let's have a hug. Wherever you are, grab yourselves by the shoulders. And this body that is physically separate, kinda. We have a porous skin, so, but we'll say, for the sake of argument, that we are a separate being in this headspace of this moment. And then let's slip out of that and recognize that we are simply observing the one that is us through this body. That we are a nerve cell of the universe, gifted with the ability to see and feel and think. But we are not in charge, no more than a nerve cell in our body is in charge. And we are given the opportunity on this path of this life to interact with ourself in other forms, as people, as objects, as ideas, and work towards that path towards divine understanding, that recognition that everything here is a part of us, reflecting a part of us, to help us integrate all of us and become peaceful and one with this state of love. So let's take a few breaths and just breathe as the one. Take a deep breath in through the nose, out through the mouth. Breathe in love. Share it with the world. Breathe in love. Share it with the world. Breath connects everything. Every living thing on the planet now, every person that's ever lived, every creature that has ever been on the planet has shared breath. And we thank Grandpa Caleb and all the love warriors for sharing breath and love and holy relationships with us. Happy Hug Nation. I love you.